Don't you love Christmas time? It's a great time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It really is. And it's a time where, don't the shops just go crazy? They go crazy. All the boys, you wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about right now, but because you're going to do your shopping after the service today, or maybe late tonight, it's just about time for you to start shopping. But if you've been to the shopping centre, it's like, where do all these people come from? This is crazy what happens at Christmas time, the buzz that happens in the community. You know, this event that happened some 2,000 years ago, it still causes traffic jams, chaos in shopping centres. Millions and millions of dollars are exhausted on gifts for loved ones during the Christmas period. It's such an expensive time with food, family and friends celebrating. This moment in history that we celebrate as the church right across the world is a moment that our whole history is built on. It's a moment that recreated our calendar in terms of how we consider time. It's all rotated around the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ is an amazing thing. The Bible says of Jesus that he was 100% man and 100% God. Which I don't know whether you've ever thought about that theological truth, 100% man and 100% God. But that's actually a mathematical impossibility, to be 100% of something and 100% of something else. Because when you're 100% of something, there's no room for anything else. Yet the Bible says of Jesus, he's kind of an enigma. He's 100% God, and he's also 100% man. He always was and is and will be God, but he became man. The Bible says he took upon himself flesh and became like us and dwelt among us for a while so that we could behold his glory and know what God is like. That's what we call a paradox. Everyone say paradox? A paradox. Now, you've heard that term. You may not necessarily be familiar with the definition of what a paradox is. And a paradox is a seemingly absurd or contradictory statement or proposition which, when investigated, reveals a powerful truth. When you look at it, those extreme opposites actually communicate some kind of truth. And I want to suggest to you today that the Christmas story is full of supernatural paradoxes. Paradoxes that continue to impact us in the way that we do our very individual lives today. You see, Jesus was born a man, is what the Bible says. And yet the Bible also says all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a paradox. He was born a man, and yet all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet we're told that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. It's an apparent contradiction that expresses a very powerful truth to us today about who Jesus Christ is and was. Jesus was born to live, yet he was also born to die. It's a paradox that communicates a very powerful truth to us. Jesus was born with the magnificence of a king and yet was found in the humility of a stable. It's a paradox that communicates the truth of Jesus' understanding of humanity and wanting to be so much among us that although he was a king, he took on the lowly position of being a servant. Jesus was the Messiah, yet he trained as a tradie. All the tradesmen in the room, give yourself a cheer right now. He was the Messiah, yet he trained to be a carpenter. You don't see too many messiahs getting the tool belt on and behaving and training like a tradesperson. You know, the Christmas message, it's filled with many powerful paradoxes that reveal very powerful truths. And I want to consider a few of them today as we read the story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20 of the birth of Jesus. It says this, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, where he belonged, to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, this beautiful story, the Christmas message that never dates, never gets old. It's a story about how God appeared to the shepherds in all of his glory, in all of his splendor. The glory of the Lord, it says, shone all around them. And this Messiah, we're told that he came not to judge the world, but to love the world. Not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the beauty of the Christian message. Unfortunately, some people haven't gotten that message, which is actually the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only message some people have is the judgment of God, the anger of God, the wrath of God. But I want you to know today, and particularly if you're new to church today, or you're a new person, I want you to know very clearly today and to understand that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to judge the world. He came into the world to save the world and to help the world and to be the hope of the world. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, two of the most well-known, or one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible. It says, "For God, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Here's some paradoxes from this Christmas story. Number one, the first paradox is this, is the message of Christmas is both personal and it's universal. It's both personal and it's also universal. And those can seem like two extremes, but the reality is the message is very personal and it's also very much a universal message. In Luke 2 verse 10, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid,'" to the shepherds, "'Do not be afraid. I bring you,'" everyone say you, "'I bring you good news, which will be great joy for all the people.'" So an individual message, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all the people." It was a personal message. It was also a universal message. Here's the wonder of the Christmas message. Although it's a message for billions, it's a message for you. Although it's a message for all the world, God loves all the world, it's a message for you. God loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You." You. We're all you today. We're all you. God has a message for you today that is also a message for all the world today. It's the good news that nobody misses out on the message. The message is for billions, but the message is also for one. And here's the thought. Don't miss the message thinking it's for everybody else but you. The message is good news for you. Don't you love it when somebody brings good news? I'm always asking people for good news stories. I say it every Sunday when I gather with the people that are serving in the house on the day. We gather for a prayer moment at the start of the morning at 7:25 a.m. And I ask them, who's got a good news story for me? Because I hear so much bad news. Anyone else in the room hear bad news? There's so much bad news in the world. I see it on the news. I read it in the paper, on the internet. It's just full of bad news. And I just love getting a good news story. Well, here the Bible says it's good news for you, but not only good news for you, it's good news for everybody. You know, one of the most amazing things that happens in church when you visit is this. When you come to church and you're a new person and you're not used to coming to church and you hear the preacher preach, this is how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to sit there thinking, who told him about me? That's what you're supposed to think. I have people come up to me so often and they say, it's like you were speaking just to me. Well, that's because I am. I'm speaking just to you. It's a message just for you. You see, it's a personal message, but it's not only just for you, it's for every other face in the room. And when you're new, you can often think of your friends. If your friends brought you to church, you can think, who told the pastor about me? Who sent him an email and told him about my issues, my problems, my concerns, my worries? Here's the deal. The pastor doesn't know what your worries and your issues and your concerns are, but God does. And God wants to speak to you today. He has a personal message. Good news for you, great joy for all the people. Good news for you, great joy for all the people. I love this paradox. It's a wonder. It's supernatural. And it expresses a powerful supernatural truth that it's a powerful message that is also very personal and also universal, that God doesn't want to just speak to billions in the world. He wants to speak to you today. The second paradox that I see in this Christmas message is that it's both terrifying and approachable. Terrifying and approachable. Those two terms don't belong together. That something could be terrifying to you, because when something terrifies you, what do? You run. You hide. You close your eyes. Because when you close your eyes, it all goes away. You want to get away from the terror. But it's also so attractive. When something's attractive to you, you're drawn to it. Think of this. The message that was given to the shepherds was one that terrified them, the Bible says. It says that the angel of the Lord, in verse 9, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, that's what was terrifying to them. Not so much the angel, but the glory of the Lord that shone all around them. And it says, and they were terrified. You see, when Jesus, our Savior, was born, it was both terrifying and also approachable. Terrifying and approachable. Verse 12 speaks of the approachableness of the message. It says, you will find a baby. Everyone go, oh, baby. A baby. Babies are, well, they can be terrifying to some, but babies are approachable. Approachable. They're harmless. They melt the hardest hearts, don't they? They make everybody smile. You know, when babies are born, all the women go, oh, isn't he beautiful? And us guys look at it and go, are you looking at what I'm looking at? I mean, seriously, are you looking at what I'm... That's how sometimes guys think. But they are. Babies are adorable. They're beautiful. They're vulnerable. They're approachable. They're not terrifying. Maybe a little ugly. They can be. You know, they say this fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. That ugly babies grow up to be the most beautiful adults. It's true. I was born a very beautiful baby. It's true. Babies are so, they're so adorable and attractive. They draw you to them. You bring a baby to the room, all the women rush over to the baby and want to hold the baby and be nothing terrifying about a baby. But there's something terrifying about the glory of the Lord. There's something terrifying about the glory of the Lord in this message. You know, the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord would appear in the tabernacle in a place that was called the Holy of the Holies. And there was only one person that was allowed to go into that place once a year. He was the high priest. And it was such a terrifying thing to go in there that their safety measure to make sure that he was still alive when he went into that very holy place was to put bells on his feet. And so if his feet stopped moving, you'd know he'd gone. He'd been taken. He died in the very presence of God. So he'd wear bells on his feet, keep his feet moving, so that outside they could hear the jingle bells. Hear the jingle bell rock. Hear the jingle bells. And that would mean that he was okay in the whole. It was such a terrifying place to be in the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the wonder, the paradox of all of this is that God packaged his glory, which was terrifying, in such an attractive little vulnerable bundle, a baby, that would draw people to the message. You know, the wonder of the Christmas message is that God is not just a God of judgment, but he's also a God of grace, the God that gives grace to every one of us through his son Jesus Christ, who would go on and die on a cross to pay for the sins of the world, and that we could know the power of living right with God, the power of what the Bible calls salvation and to be saved. It's a wonder, it's a supernatural paradox that gives us a very powerful supernatural truth that God's terrifying glory is wrapped up in the most approachable form and package possible, a baby. The third paradox that I see in this Christmas story is the paradox that the message of Christmas is both urgent and eternal. Urgent, and then also, hang on, the message is going to be around for a while. There was a real sense of urgency with this message that was given by the angels in Luke chapter 2 verse 11. It says, today, everyone say today, not tomorrow, today, when? Today, not tomorrow, today, a Saviour in the town of David has been born to you. And it goes on to say, so they hurried off. They hurried off. When you get an urgent message, you go. You hurry off. And it says they hurried off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. You know, the Christmas message is an urgent message today, but there's a sense that it's a forever message. It's a sense of urgency, but also a sense of it's going to be a forever message. That's a message of good news, great joy for all the people forever. In terms of today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. There's a sense of urgency about rightness with God and salvation with God. Today, it was told the shepherds, the Saviour has been born. So today is the day to serve God with all of your strength, all of your might, wholeheartedly to serve and honor Jesus. Today is the day to find forgiveness and grace and right standing with God. But this message also has eternal consequences. He was called the Savior, not the baby, the Savior. The Messiah has been born to you and he will be the Lord. Isaiah the prophet picks up this thought of both him being baby but also one of amazing authority, which is a paradox, that a baby could be perceived as a person of great leadership, of great authority, of great governance. And this is what Isaiah says of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6-7. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Now that's a paradox. You don't consider a little baby, a little toddler, a little child to be statesmanlike, to be kingly, to be one that would reign when you see them in that little form. It says the government will be upon his shoulder and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Can I have our team come to stage, please? You know, this Christmas message, it's full of paradoxes. The person of Jesus Christ is full of paradoxes for us. The message is not really and not only a message of a baby. It's about who that baby really was. The paradox that he was the Almighty God, clothed, wrapped, and presented in the form of a baby to become the Savior of the world. The paradox that this was God in flesh. God in flesh. The paradox that this would be the Son of God given to die for our sins. That he was a ruler and a leader. Name above every name. The highest place reserved for him. That he would be our great counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This Christmas message is a message with continued hope for all mankind. Hope forever and ever. It's a supernatural message. Would you stand to your feet? It's a powerful message. It's a paradox. It's a mystery. It's a message for you. And it's also a message for everybody. Every single person. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It's a message for you today. A message for you today. And over this Christmas season, as you gather to celebrate with your family and friends, you're going to enjoy a lot of festivities, gift giving, gift exchanging. The one gift and the one message that heaven wants you to very clearly understand and receive is that the Christmas story is a personal story. The Christmas message is a personal message. It's heaven's message to you, not just heaven's message to the world. That Jesus Christ was born a baby to become the man in flesh who was fully God, fully man, who would die for the sins of not only the world, but of your sins. And that he is the only way that a man can be made right, or a woman can be made right, or a child can be made right with God Almighty. He's God's gift to the world. And my prayer is that you have received this, what the Bible says, indescribable gift. This gift too indescribable for words. The depth of it, the beauty of it. The potency of it, the life change that comes with receiving this gift from God, words cannot tell. And so on Christmas Eve, if you're in this building today and you've not opened that gift from heaven, you've not received that gift from heaven, you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you don't have the peace of God today. You've not had God wash away your sins and give you a brand new start. Then today, this message has a sense of urgency for you. Today, the angels were told, the Savior has been born. Today is your day. Your day. It's not just the day for the world, it's the day for you. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not bowed your knee and opened your heart to receive Him as your Lord and King, then today is your moment and your opportunity. And I want to give you your moment and give you your opportunity right now. I'm going to ask you, if you have not made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to raise your hand in a moment and look me right in the eye. I'm not going to parade you around the building. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand and look me right in the eye. and I'm going to pray a prayer for you from stage. You can stay where you are. I'm going to stay where I am. This is simply about you acknowledging your need of Jesus Christ and His glory in your life. It's not just a story of 2,000 years ago. It's a story that has continuing eternal ramifications that has changed our world forever. And God's favor wants to rest on you today, but God's favor comes packaged in the form of this Savior. To receive Him, the Bible says, we need to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And when we do, the Bible says, we are saved. We are made right with God. This is the doorway. This is the entry point. The Son of God received into hearts of human beings. If you've not, and you want to, and you need to, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I'm going to ask you right now to lift up your hand nice and high right across this building and look me right in the eye. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I need to receive this gift today more than any other gift this Christmas. Just quickly, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand and open your eyes. I'll acknowledge you and I'm going to pray for you today in Jesus' name. Right across this hall, is that you today? Receive God's gift for you today. It's a personal gift and a personal message for you. Would you open your eyes? Look me right in the eye. I pray you have a Merry Christmas this Christmas. I pray when you get together with your family, your loved ones and your friends, you feel loved today, tomorrow. You feel you have a sense of belonging with the people that are in your world. I pray when you open your gifts, you're reminded of the greatest gift the world has ever seen and ever received, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He really is joy to the world. Joy to the world, great news, and joy to everybody. We're going to close with singing this great carol this morning. Why don't you sing it with all of your hearts today? I know you're in church, it's not a carol event, but let's carol right now to the very best of our ability. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. 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 Yeah.